The pandemic seen to end early in Europe due to the Omicron surge. Researchers in Italy say a fourth jab for the elderly raises their resistance to serious illness due to COVID-19. Severe coronavirus outbreaks recorded in Baguio and Iloilo City. We'll speak to the head of Iloilo City's COVID-19 response team later on in the program. And fuel prices going up for a fourth straight week. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, Europe possibly heading towards a pandemic endgame. That's according to the World Health Organization, which said 60% of Europeans could be infected by the Omicron variant by March. The WHO says the region's cases could subside either due to the vaccines or because of people having immunity after being infected. But the health body warns COVID may return towards the end of the year, but not necessarily at a pandemic level. As of January 18, Omicron represented 15% of new cases in Europe. That's higher than the 6.3% recorded a week earlier. Israel's health ministry says a fourth dose of COVID-19 vaccine given to people over 60 made them three times more resistant to serious illness than thrice vaccinated people in that same age group. The ministry adds recipients of the second booster in the age group doubled resistance against infection compared with those who received only three shots. Earlier this year, the country approved the rollout of a second booster shot of the Pfizer vaccine for people who are immunocompromised and the elderly living in care homes. New Zealand, again, showing an abundance of caution following the detection of a cluster of Omicron cases. A family tested positive after attending a wedding. A flight attendant on the same flight also caught the virus. This prompted the country to shift to a red setting, imposing mask rules and limiting gatherings. Even Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has canceled her own wedding as the new restrictions take effect.
As for mine, my wedding will not be going ahead, but I just join many other New Zealanders who have had an experience like that as a result of the pandemic. And to anyone who's caught up in that scenario, I'm so sorry, but we are all so resilient, and I know we understand that we're doing this for one another, and I know that will help us continue on. Oh, such is life. Our plan is simple. Get boosted. Wear a mask in indoor settings and outdoors when you can't distance from others, and reduce contacts as much as practical in those environments. Omicron is now in more than 80 countries around the world. By delaying its arrival here, we've had the time to kick off boosters, vaccination for children, and prepare.
New Zealand's borders have been shut to foreigners since March 2020, and plans for a phased reopening from mid-January have been pushed back to the end of February. About 94% of New Zealand's population over the age of 12 is fully vaccinated. About 56% of those eligible have had booster shots. The culling of hamsters in Hong Kong due to COVID-19 concerns continues, and this report tells us more.
Hong Kong authorities on Sunday said one hamster surrendered by pet owners had tested positive for the COVID-19 virus, while over 2,200 hamsters had been culled as the city grappled to contain an outbreak. On Tuesday, officials ordered the killing of hamsters from dozens of pet stores after tracing a coronavirus outbreak to a worker at a shop. People were asked to surrender any hamsters bought on or after December 22nd. While a handful had already tested positive for the virus, this latest case is the first involving a hamster in the care of a pet owner that had tested positive. Despite a public outcry against the crackdown, authorities urged pet owners to continue to hand over their tiny furry pets, given the increasing health risks. The government described the outcry as irrational. In response, thousands of people have offered to adopt unwanted hamsters. Meanwhile, 140 new infections were reported in Hong Kong on Sunday, and there are no signs of the government easing the restrictions.
Here in the Philippines, close to 100,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported in just the past 3 days. The Department of Health logged nearly 30,000 new infections Sunday. Citing DOH data, the Octo Research Group says the risk classification in Metro Manila has de-escalated from severe to very high risk.
We're not out of the woods for sure. Hindi tayo dapat makampante. In fact, we should use the opportunity na ipagpatuloy natin yung mga best practices natin para patuloy na bumaba yung bilang ng kaso at maging magandang kalagayan natin sa NCR by February. Pero sa ngayon, kung maging kampante tayo, baka mag-reverse pink trend, baka tumaas pa.
Baguio and Iloilo City facing severe COVID-19 outbreaks. The hospital utilization rates in both areas are now at around 70%. Iloilo Mayor Jerry Trena says the Interior Department has informed him about possibly placing the city under Alert Level 4. Hospitals there have agreed to add more beds to their COVID wards and ICU. That's on top of a modular field hospital that will be set up to address the surge. It's a similar situation in Baguio City. Mayor Benjamin Magalong says there are 2 confirmed Omicron cases in the city, but he believes a local transmission may have already been taking place since December. And for more on the COVID-19 surge in Iloilo City, we're now joined by Dr. Roland Fortuna. He is the head of the city's COVID-19 response team. Dr. Fortuna, we appreciate you coming to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning to all the viewers.
Right, reports have it that the outbreak in Iloilo has been severe. How would you describe the situation there as we speak?
We started to have the surge in cases in the second week of January. In last December, we only have a single digit up to almost zero for a day. Currently, last January 21, we had the highest number of cases. We had 637 in just one day. This is the highest so far since the start of pandemic. And with the current number of cases, currently what is also increasing is the healthcare utilization rate of the city.
All right. And how many cases do you have now as we speak?
Since the start of January, January 1 to 23, we already have 4,574 cases with a daily average of 199. This is the highest so far. Last year, when we had also our surge, since September, there are only 4,061 cases or a daily average of 135. So far, this is the highest. And in just the last 7 days, January 17 to 23, we already have 3,085 cases with a daily average of 441.
All right. So the cases, that will continue to happen unless we get this pandemic under control. But what's not supposed to be constant or what is expected to adjust is the way people, local government units respond to the different types of surges that we've been experiencing. Before we get into that, you know, how would you describe how different this surge is from the surges in the past, Dr. Fortuna?
Yeah, if you can see the data that we have, it's really an abrupt increase in cases. The cases slowly increased. However, this time, in just a matter of days, the cases tripled. And currently, if we compared our cases last month, same date, this is December 1 to 23. We only have 53 cases. However, right now, it's almost more than 8,500% increase in the number of cases.
And how have you... sorry to cut you there, Dr. Fortuna, but how have you adjusted your strategy, your response to COVID-19, particularly this Omicron surge?
Yeah. Before last December... there was less restrictions with regards to those incoming residents of Iloilo City. Now there is tighter restrictions. We require a negative RT-PCR prior to travel within 72 hours. And upon arrival, we do still again do swabbing. And I guess the surge in Iloilo City, we have a lot of cases because of the active contact tracing that we are doing. Currently in the region, we are the highest who are doing the testing. We test every close contact that we have. That's why right now we are averaging around 900 tests, RT-PCR tests per day. That's why the number of our cases increased.
And Dr. Fortuna, let me just jump off that point that you just made. While many of the LGUs across the country have sort of let go of their contact tracing, we do know that that's been the weakest link so far. How have you been able to maintain and sustain your contact tracing activities there in Iloilo City?
Yes, we still do the contact tracing, the aggressive contact tracing, because we really want to know the real picture. If you do not test the contact trace, if you don't test, you can really get the general picture of the community transmission. That's why we maintain the contact tracing and test the contact trace. These persons are being traced as close contact.
So you never really let go of that, huh?
Yes, we're still doing the contact tracing to isolate them and to quarantine if needed, if we are positive.
I understand that one of the strategies that you had to adjust was to preserve the hospital utilization rate by reserving it for those only with severe cases. And as I understand it, Governor Art Defensor has been saying that home care should be prioritized for those who have mild symptoms. How's that coming along for you guys?
Currently the healthcare utilization rate of Iloilo City is very high. This is because a majority of the hospitals, we have 10 hospitals in the city, 8 are private and 2 are government. And these are level 2 and level 3 hospitals. And currently, the problem with the utilization of the hospitals is that majority of the cases, like for the ICU admission, only 50% are coming from the city and the rest are coming from the other from the province. So that's why the healthcare utilization right now in the city is increasing. And for the total admission, only around 58% are coming from the city and the rest are coming from the province. And what should have been done is the hospitals in the provinces should have been upgraded to also decongest the hospitals here in the city. And most of those patients coming from the province are seeking admissions here in the city.
Mm. And these cases, what's the nature of their illness? How severe, how moderate, how mild?
There are moderate cases and severe cases admitted in the city. However, one of the hospitals here just called them with regards to cases. They have actually mild cases who are admitted. Why are they admitted? They are admitted on because of a different illness. However, on testing, they come up positive. This cannot be discharged because most of these patients are on for dialysis, and other patients are for surgery. Although they have mild symptoms, the cost of the admission is not from COVID. So this is the problem we had right now with the city because of the healthcare utilization rate is increasing. Now, what we have done, we were able to talk with the hospitals last Saturday. So that they could increase the beds allocated for COVID. As of now, 65 beds has been increased since yesterday. A total of 65 beds has been increased. And currently, the city is opening up 32 more beds for the modular hospital. This will be functioning within the week. And by next week, the 44-bed modular hospital will again be open. This will be another additional beds exclusive for Iloilo City residents. So we can improve
the way, Dr. Fortuna, with the way you're describing the situation there and how you're able to strategize and adjust your strategies around this Omicron surge, it seems to us that you're able to act on it swiftly and bounce back quickly. Why is that possible? Because we also want other provinces, other areas to learn from the experience that you're having there in Iloilo. Go ahead, Dr. Fortuna.
Yes, because of the leadership of Mayor Jerry Trenas, all the COVID team are proactive. So every time there is a concern, we act on it immediately. And that's why we can address the cases, act on it soon as possible. That's why this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we were able to ready the 33 beds in just 2 days. We were able to ready this, and hopefully by this week, this can function already as an extension hospital or a modular hospital. And this will be managed. We were able to coordinate with one private hospital, the Medical City Iloilo. They will be managing these modular hospitals. However, the healthcare personnel will be coming from the city. This is a joint effort of the Medical City Iloilo and the city government of Iloilo City.
How are you able to ensure that you have enough manpower, enough COVID-19 medicine, COVID-19 treatment medicine in stock? How are you able to ensure that as you prepare for the worst of the surge?
Yeah. Initially, when we were preparing for the vaccination, we hired a lot of vaccinators and a lot of healthcare workers who are augmenting the vaccination sites. That's why we're able to reach 135% fully vaccinated as of the moment. Since we're also helping other provinces, we're opening our doors to the other provinces for the vaccination. And right now, because of the number of vaccines are slowly declining, we'll be utilizing this healthcare personnel for the modular field hospital. And also, we are also looking into asking augmentation from the Department of Health for additional human resource for health.
And when you hired all these additional personnel, did you have to adjust the rates?
These are on contract of service. We did adjust the rates according to what is proper for the nurses as well as for the doctors. And also, Department of Health was able to help us with some augmentation for this modular hospital.
What are you bracing for, Dr. Fortuna? You're in the middle of the surge as we speak. What else are you bracing for?
Right now, we're still concentrating to increase actually the bed capacity that we had. Since we all know that Iloilo City is the regional hub for Panay Island, if we maintain, it will be placed on alert level 4, a lot of businesses will close and the economy will really suffer here. So that's why we are preparing to improve the healthcare utilization so that Iloilo City will be placed status quo on alert level 3.
Mm. And you're racing against time. You're racing against the virus. How difficult is that for you?
It's difficult if you have no support from your other COVID teams. However, the COVID team of Iloilo City is very supportive. We are attacking the virus in a cluster approach. So there is in charge for the logistics, they're in charge for the health. They are also in charge for the quarantine facility. And because of this, a lot of people are working to fight this pandemic.
By the way, when we talk about the vaccination rate in Iloilo City and in the whole province, where are you at this point? Where are we at?
For the vaccination rate of Iloilo City, currently, those who are able to receive first dose is around 140.7%. And those receiving fully vaccinated or two doses were currently at 135.22%. And the booster doses, currently we have 33.88%. For the booster doses, the regional average is only 5.86%.
All right. What about the unvaccinated? Are you still having problems with people either who choose not to get vaccinated or unvaccinated for some other reason? What is the status regarding that, Dr. Fortuna?
So far, we're just a few who are unvaccinated. This is because of medical conditions as well as to the religious beliefs that they cannot be vaccinated. And Iloilo City had an ordinance passed lately with regards to the restriction of the movements of the unvaccinated. So we already passed that ordinance restricting the movement except for accessing essential goods and services.
Because of the vaccination rate that your area has and the little number of those who are unvaccinated, instead of restricting their movements, instead of being punitive about it, Are you also looking at other ways for them to have the freedom of movement still, but without being a cause of harm for those who are vaccinated, Dr. Fortuna?
Yes, we're looking at it in a different way. We're not saying that we are restricting their movement, but it's basically more protecting those unvaccinated, because data shows and science shows that being vaccinated protects you from getting severe disease. So while restricting the movement, we are actually protecting the unvaccinated. Since if you're vaccinated and you go out, you get COVID, you could either have a mild or you have become asymptomatic. However, if you are unvaccinated, the chances of you getting the severe manifestation is increased. So that's why restriction is basically a protection for those that are unvaccinated.
And how are you, how far are you willing to go to protect the rights of those who are unvaccinated for one reason or another?
This ordinance will take effect when the alert level 3, when the city is on alert level 3. When the alert level goes down to alert level 2 and 1, this will be lifted, the ordinance will be lifted.
You know, I was also talking to Mayor Mike Rama of Cebu City, and he did say that it is his hope that the Supreme Court really decides on this matter for the protection of both the vaccinated and unvaccinated when you talk about the issue of mandatory vaccination. Is that something that you would welcome as well?
Actually, the ordinance is not for mandatory vaccination. We're not implementing mandatory vaccination. We're just trying to protect those unvaccinated. Since data shows that last year, we have 444 deaths, and out of the 444, 87% or 386 are unvaccinated. And this year alone, since January, I think I have 6 deaths, and 5 of which are unvaccinated. So these are the ones that we're using just to show them that we're not really restricting, but we are protecting those unvaccinated, not to go into severe type of COVID-19.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Dr. Roland Fortuna there, the chairperson of Iloilo City's government, or Iloilo City's COVID-19 response team, we appreciate you coming to the show and thank you for joining us. Continue to take care and keep safe.
Thank you very much and good morning.
Thanks. All right, from there, on to the next item. The cities of Navotas and Caloocan ramp up their testing efforts as Metro Manila continues to see a high number of COVID-19 cases. Liza Aquino filed this report.
Some local governments in Metro Manila continue to offer free RT-PCR tests and antigen tests for their citizens amidst the rising number of COVID-19 cases in the region. Navotas City are now accepting walk-in for their RT-PCR tests starting today. Interested individuals may coordinate with their barangay officials before going to the testing site in Navotas Sports Complex. They're offering it for free, especially to those who will be needing it as a requirement to return to work. Meanwhile, Caloocan LGU continue to offer free antigen tests for their citizens who are experiencing COVID-19 symptoms or those who are exposed to someone who is COVID-19 positive. Residents of North Caloocan can go to their testing site in Barangay 177 Parkland COVID Court, while those who are residing in South Caloocan may go to the testing site located near the Barangay Hall of Barangay 4 from 8:30 in the morning until 11 in the morning. National Capital Region continues to top the list of regions in the country with the most cases reported daily, with 5,433 new cases as of yesterday. Authorities continue to remind everyone to isolate and test as soon as you experience any COVID-19 symptoms to prevent the spread of the virus.
Over in Taguig City, the local government has begun distributing thousands of free molnupiravir capsules to COVID-19 patients. Our correspondent, Ana Cerezo, gives us details.
The city government of Taguig turned over some 10,000 capsules of molnupiravir to their city health office. The oral medicine will be given to COVID-19 patients under prescription. Citing the Institute of Clinical Epidemiology and National Institute of Health, the Taguig local government said the medicine is used to treat confirmed COVID-19 patients who are 18 years old and above with 5 days of mild to moderate symptoms and have at least one risk factor of progression. Risk factors for progression include individuals aged 60 years old and above, active cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic pulmonary disease, obesity, serious heart conditions, and diabetes mellitus, among others. COVID-19 patients from Taguig can inquire regarding the antiviral medication by calling the designated telemedicine of their barangay. The said patients, however, will first be examined by the doctors to make sure the medicine is necessary and fits the aforementioned criteria. If prescribed, the medicine will then be delivered to the home of the patient for free. The Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, first issued the emergency use of authorization for the molnupiravir in December. According to Mayor Lino Cayetano, the program aims to further bring down the city's hospitalization rate. Based on the LGU's last update, the city has 599 active cases.
A former advisor of the Philippines' COVID-19 task force urging government not to remove or even ease quarantine requirements for returning overseas Filipino workers yet. The health department has received some proposals to ease travel curbs for returning citizens, but Dr. Tony Lechon says cases are underreported, testing is inadequate, and areas near Metro Manila are now seeing a worrying uptick in COVID cases. He urges government to fast-track the rollout of booster shots and focus on areas other than Metro Manila.
In the Philippines, if we are NCR-centric and we live and die with the cases in the NCR, forgetting that the Philippines is not only the national capital region, we need to think that in our archipelago setting, it will be difficult to fight many wars on particularly with limited resources. So the idea should be to involve the local government unit leaders, the private sector, expand the drugstore vaccination, and focus not only on the NCR but other highly urbanized cities as well as provinces.
After days of being stuck at the Manila North Harbor last week, over 100 passengers bound for Zamboanga have finally been allowed to travel. They were initially banned because of the government's no vaccination, no ride policy. But the Philippine Ports Authority says the provincial government of Zamboanga has agreed to receive them. It adds half of the passengers also got their COVID-19 jabs while waiting to be allowed to travel.
Ito sa implementasyon natin na out of compassion na lang in humanitarian consideration, we would want na po sana yung ibang kababayan natin na to take advantage of. Dahil kung ganun po mangyari, lahat na lamang po magsasabi uwi, wala na, mababaliwala po yung talagang intention po nung mga circular na ma-prevent po yung pag-spread pa, yung pag-further spread po nung COVID-19 virus natin.
Authorities arrest two individuals involved in selling fake vaccination cards. They were caught in an entrapment operation at a computer shop in Marikina City. The two suspects, who were employees at the computer shop, were selling fake vaccination cards for 250 pesos each. Authorities seized a computer and several fake vaccination cards from the suspects. Majority of the COVID-19 tests conducted by the Philippine Genome Center are confirmed to be that of the Omicron variant. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III says out of the more than 700 genome sequenced tests, almost 500 are Omicron, while the rest are mostly the Delta variant. Despite this, Duque is optimistic about possibly lowering the alert level in Metro Manila soon.
Patuloy naman ang ginagawa ng Philippine Genome Center, tukuyin kung darating ba ang araw na talagang baka almost 100% maging Omicron na, kasi lumiliit na nga yung Delta variant. Kung malagay sa moderate risk level ang kaso and low risk level ang hospital utilization rate, eh, pwede na tayo magbaba to alert level 2. Pero kung mangyayari ba ito bukas kamakalawa, sa Miyerkules o sa Huwebes, hindi ko pa masabi.
Let's take a break now. Up ahead, local pump prices is set to go up for a fourth straight week. More on that when we come back to Watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The pandemic seemed to end early in Europe due to the Omicron surge. Researchers in Israel say a fourth jab for the elderly raises the resistance to serious illness due to COVID-19. Severe coronavirus outbreaks recorded in Baguio and Iloilo City. And fuel prices going up for a fourth straight week. The printing of official ballots for the automated election system for the May polls now underway. Commission on Election spokesperson James Jimenez says the process began on Sunday, starting with the ballots to be used in the Bangsamoro region. The COMELEC has also already finished printing 60,000 ballots for the manual local absentee and overseas voting. It is optimistic the printing will be completed by April 21st, even if it was delayed by several days. The poll body is printing more than 67.4 million ballots for the upcoming elections. A poll watchdog takes the COMELEC side, saying it doesn't believe the poll body's database was hacked. Local broadsheet Manila Bulletin earlier reported about the supposed hacking incident, which the poll body vehemently denied. The chairman of the National Movement for Free Elections, or NAMFREL, says his sources at the COMELEC also told him the database was not yet done, so there was nothing to hack. World news now, the U.S. State Department warns Americans not to travel to Ukraine due to the ongoing tension along its border with Russia. A level 4 warning has been issued over the country. That's America's highest travel advisory. The State Department said there are increased threats of Russian military action as Moscow deploys troops near its neighbor. It added, the situation in Ukraine is unpredictable and can deteriorate with little notice. The State Department earlier ordered American diplomats and their families to leave the embassy in Kyiv. The embassy has also authorized non-emergency employees to depart. The United Kingdom, meanwhile, warns Russia of severe economic sanctions as it accuses the Kremlin of planning to install a puppet regime in Ukraine. Details in this report.
Britain has accused the Kremlin of seeking to install a pro-Russian leader in Ukraine. The UK's foreign ministry declined to provide evidence to back up its claims, which come at a time of heightened tensions between Russia and the West. Russia has massed troops at its border with Ukraine, but insists it has no plans to invade. In a statement, Britain's Foreign Office said it had information that the Russian government was eyeing former Ukrainian lawmaker Yevhen Muraev to potentially head a pro-Russian leadership. Muraev, who opposes Ukraine's integration with the West, described the British Foreign Office as seeming confused. He told the Observer newspaper that the statement isn't very logical, adding that he is banned from Russia. The Russian Foreign Ministry dismissed the comments as disinformation and accused Britain and NATO of escalating tensions. The UK also said it had information that Russian intelligence services were maintaining links with numerous former Ukrainian politicians, including senior figures linked to ex-president Viktor Yanukovych, who fled to Russia in 2014 after 3 months of protests. The British claims come a day after top US and Russian diplomats failed to make a breakthrough in discussions to resolve the crisis. They have agreed to keep talking. Russia has made demands on the US, including a halt to NATO's eastward expansion and a pledge that Ukraine will never be allowed to join the Western military alliance. A UK foreign ministry source said it was not usual practice to share intelligence matters, and that the details had only been declassified after careful consideration in order to deter Russian aggression. The office of UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson also said he was planning to ramp up pressure on Russia this week, by calling for European counterparts to come together with the United States.
Taiwan reports a new Chinese incursion in its airspace, the largest since October last year. Taipei's defense ministry says it warned away 39 Chinese aircraft. Taiwan, which Beijing claims as its own territory, has complained for more than a year of repeated missions by China's Air Force near the democratically governed island. There was no immediate comment from China, which has in the past said such moves were drills aimed at protecting the country's sovereignty. Taiwan's government says it wants peace but will defend itself if attacked. In business, local and foreign business groups are pushing for two economic measures before lawmakers go into election campaign recess. The Joint Foreign Chambers of the Philippines calls on the Senate to ratify the country's membership in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, one of the world's largest trading deals. It warns the country may miss business opportunities unless the deal is approved by the Senate. The RCEP is a free trade agreement among ASEAN countries and their trading partners, including Australia, China, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea. It represents 30% of the global GDP, or $26.2 trillion. Local business groups and foreign chambers also urged Congress to adopt amendments to the Public Service Act. They say these would help the Philippines attract much-needed foreign investments as it recovers from the pandemic. Senator Francis Tolentino files a bill seeking to protect workers' rest hours. That's amid what he calls a thinning line between work and personal life of employees who are working remotely this pandemic. Many companies have shifted to a work-from-home setup to keep their operations going while lessening the risk of COVID transmission. But Tolentino says employers should not abuse this type of arrangement.
You're supposed to have a one-hour break during lunchtime. Yeah. You're entitled to coffee breaks, 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the agreement with the employer. During those periods, under this proposed measure, you are entitled to have that right to disconnect. Meaning to say, you can turn off your gadgets, cell phone. You can distance yourself from the work activity, emails. And your employer has the duty to respect that. If he fails, you are entitled to a certain compensation.
Another big-time oil price hike set for tomorrow. Diesel prices will again go up by a peso and 90 centavos per liter. Kerosene prices will increase by 1 peso and 70 centavos, while a liter of gasoline will cost 1 peso and 45 centavos more. This is the fourth straight week of local oil price hikes. It comes as global crude prices soared to seven-year highs last week on continued concerns over supply. Geopolitical tensions in the Middle East and Russia are also pushing prices in the world oil market higher. Higuro Coffee Group has officially listed in the Philippine Stock Exchange following a successful initial public offering. The company plans to use the funds from its IPO for store openings and commissary expansions. The homegrown brand has been in the market since 1993. Figaro's listing marks the second PSE listing for the month of January. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. We're going to take another break. Still ahead, the Philippines has a new world boxing champion. More on that when we come back. This is Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news in sports. While boxing icon Senator Manny Pacquiao is busy with his presidential bid, his heir apparent is working his way up the world's pound-for-pound rankings. Mark Magsayo received nothing but praises from analysts as he bagged the WBC featherweight title. He won via majority decision against American Gary Russell Jr. in New Jersey over the weekend. Aside from earning the championship belt, 26-year-old Magsayo also improved his perfect professional record to 24-0.
Sobrang saya ako kasi yung pangarap ko natupad na. Ito yung ito yung hinihingi ko kay God sa buong team ko na maging world champion. Sobrang saya. Ginawa ko talaga hard work sa gym every day, walang tigil sa training, takbo sa bundok, sparring, at yun dasal.
In the NBA, Jimmy Butler's triple-double powers the Miami Heat a 113-107 victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Heat raced off to a 14-point lead at the end of the first quarter and never looked back. Butler finished with 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. Teammate Duncan Robinson added 25 points. LeBron James led the Lakers with 33 points. Miami improves to 30-17, while the Lakers slipped to 23-24. Jamaican bobsled team is headed back to the Winter Olympics after 24 years. And as this report tells us, the team took some inspiration from the film Cool Runnings on their road to Beijing.
Once I get into the sled, all I do is just sit down, hold on, and have a little prayer.
Nimroy Taggart is part of Jamaica's four-man bobsleigh team, which has qualified for the Winter Olympics for the first time in 24 years. Jamaica has been a welcome sight at the Winter Olympics since beating the odds to qualify in 1988. That sporting achievement inspired the feel-good Disney film Cool Runnings, but the four-man team had not qualified since 1998. Now Turgut and his teammates are heading to Beijing, and he says with many sporting facilities closed in the global health crisis, they've inadvertently borrowed from the movie. They resorted to pushing a Mini Cooper around the streets of the UK's Peterborough to stay fit.
And also funny to some person, and now when I'm looking back on Cool Runnings, it was exactly similar, but at that moment, I wasn't thinking about, oh, let's do this because it's in Cool Runnings. We're just thinking about how to get ourselves better and prepared for when it's time.
Turgut is determined to make amends after the team failed to qualify for Pyeongchang 4 years ago by one spot. But they also face other challenges.
Jamaica definitely have the athletes, but when it comes equipment-wise, we don't have the best equipment. But we're not complaining. We have to go out there and use what we have and perform to the best of our ability to represent our beautiful country, Jamaica.
Ready? Let's go.
A GoFundMe for the Jamaica Bobsleigh and Skeleton Federation Foundation has raised $5,600 so far, a fraction of the cost for a bobsleigh. Turgut, who comes from an eastern suburb of Kingston, will also feature in a two-man bobsleigh. He hopes the team can capture people's imaginations and bring Jamaica's reggae vibes to the Olympics.
Tired. Me.
New thrillers and historical dramas have recently been released on streaming. Manny the Movie Guy tells us which ones are worth checking out.
On Apple TV Plus, rock with Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock. Embark on new adventures from the Jim Henson Company. And if you missed it in theaters, the sure-to-be Oscar contender, The Tragedy of Macbeth, is now streaming. Over on HBO Max, John Cena reprises his The Suicide Squad character and stars in the title role of The Peacemaker. On Amazon Prime Video, be sure to check out A Hero. This Iranian film is one of the winners at the Palm Springs International Film Festival Awards, receiving honors for Best Actor and Screenplay.
I have that film.
If you're in the mood for a neo-noir thriller, check out American Night on Hulu. Art, life, and Andy Warhol collide in this twisted tale.
How did you get this?
And on Disney Plus, be sure to check out Betty White Goes Wild, a loving and thoughtful homage to the late great Miss White and her passion for big cats. And for Star Wars fans, The Book of Boba Fett is now out. And on Netflix, the streaming giant continues its rom-com streak with The Royal Treatment. A hairdresser falls in love with a prince. The end. And if you love historical dramas, there's Munich, The Edge of War.
Hitler is lying.
Not to be confused with Steven Spielberg's Munich, this one's about the outbreak of World War II.
No enemies.
And finally, also on Netflix, don't forget Alyssa Milano in Brazen. The actress headlines this murder mystery about secrets and lies.
Everybody has secrets.
You're still as charming as ever.
Oh, oh, you're charming too. Thank you.
Charmed indeed. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ABS-CBN News.
Next on In Focus, we begin our series of interviews with the 2022 presidential candidates. Starting off with Senator Pánfilo Lacson, who will join us tomorrow, January 25th, here on Dateline Philippines. Got any questions? Send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.